Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half of the Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined this week as always by Tom and Donny. How are you doing, Donny?
I'm very well, thank you.
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Right, so we're obviously back after our international break, so we will, at this point, we'll go through the last game week's review quickly, see what's popped up. We are going to discuss a wild card, because I'm on a wild card this week. After two head-to-head arrows, I thought it's time to be freshen things up. We've got some community questions, and we've got a Donny dive as well. I believe that could be on the new manager, and stuff like that, usual stuff. So let's get carried away. Let's get started, even. So, the Kevin Van Veen Cup, the results are in. They're now down at the semis, so the four guys know who they are. I'll obviously retweet before the game week starts. Scott Prem Fantasy, I believe, is going for back-to-back cup wins, so he's the one that we all know in the community. The other three guys are relatively new for this later round, so good to have a new cup champion. We'll go to our league. See if there's any change to the top three. And there is, yep, number one, Josie's bus driver is up, and he's got 513 overall. Up to second is Sex, Drug and Devante Cole. He's at 504. And down to third is Yota Clue. He's at 501. So that's the point. So we will go to Owen. And I don't know who's ranked the lowest, so I'll just go first myself this week. I think it might be you, Tom, but I'll go first anyway. I had 43 points this week. And they were as follows. Nothing in goals for Clark. Penn Rice, 8. Captain Tavernier, 21. Scales, 2. Tavernier. That's how we missed out on it. Captain O'Reilly, 6 points. Miller, -2. Leslie, nothing. Boyle, 2. O'Hara, 2. Mioski, 2. Vice Captain, 2. And Hiho on the bench with 3 players not playing. So that's kind of where I triggered that. And that takes me down to 760th overall. So over to you, Tom.
Yep, I got 46 points, but I took a -4, so a net of 42 points. I also had Clark in goals for nothing, Tavernier for 21, Tim Parks for nothing, Ndaba for 1, Stevenson for nothing. In midfield, I had O'Hara for 2, Armstrong for 2, Captain O'Reilly for 6, Kelly for 10, Mayovsky up front for 2, and Vice-Captain Furuhashi for 2, which sees a red arrow, and I'm now 1,351st.
Okay, Donny, you must be flying high then at the three podcasters you're scoring.
I wouldn't say flying. So I had 58, I took a -4, so that was 54. So in goals, Hemming for 1, Penrice for 8, Tavernier 21, Scales 2, O'Hara 2, Boyle 2, Armstrong 2, O'Reilly captain 6, Kelly 10, Mielski 2, Vice-Captain Kyogo 2. So a lot of similar numbers there. 54. Global score was 456. I must have been one of the few people not to captain Tav and still get a green arrow, albeit it was only 59 places. So I am up to 604.
Right, okay, okay. So, Tom, we'll come to you for the results. Abbreviated results, because it was over in the last 2 weeks gone now, but take it away.
Yep, so I think the lunchtime fixture was Celtic 3, Kilmarnock 1. For Celtic, it was Hitati that scored the first with an assist from McGregor, Palmer with the second with an assist from Hitati, and Taylor got the third with an assist from Maeda. For Kilmarnock, it was David Watson with an assist from Liam Polworth. Celtic are starting to hit a little bit of form. Things are starting to gel a little bit. Hitati was a standout player in this particular fixture, obviously with the goal and assist, but the underlying stats were pretty good as well. He was top for shots on target with 4. Palmer starting to bed into the team. He got a second goal for Celtic, having also scored against Lazio in the Champions League. Defensive wise, unfortunately, there was no clean sheet. Scales is increasingly popular. I see he's now up to 3 million in price, and continuing to do well despite conceding. I think it's a bit of a headache for those looking to secure a third Celtic player, because there's a few options now starting to emerge. In terms of Kilmarnock, nothing for Armstrong this game, but he's been pretty consistent throughout the season. Quite hard to judge a player when they're away at Celtic Park. The return of Ndaba has really done anything to improve the clean sheet rate for Kilmarnock. So probably a player that I'll be looking to shift on. That's about it, really. Peter, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, probably Celtic's best league performance of the season so far, I would say. Starting to click a bit more. Still not a finished article, but fantasy-wise, I wouldn't worry about Kilmarnock. Well, actually, I would worry. Actually, I think they have slightly... We've been praising them, I think, because they beat Celtic Rangers in the Cup and League separately, but since then, they haven't really done much. And Ndaba, we all joked on at the start because he was a cheap defender, but they've kind of struggled a wee bit, so I'm kind of wary to go anywhere near Kilmarnock, apart from your talisman Armstrong. With Celtic, I've got the dilemma. The skills learner you're talking about, Tom. I'm on a wild card this week, as I've already mentioned, so skills in there, taking up a valuable space, and with some players open up, like maybe a Hatate O'Reilly combination, or is Palmer going to become dominant winger? There's players that you could pick in instead. So I'll hold my thoughts on that one later on. We discuss the wild card. You just kind of talked me through that one. But as it stands, yeah, I think it's the usual faces for Celtic. I think there's quite a few blanks that roll for Furuhashi, is that right? It's not like him, but I don't think any's getting rushed to come off him, because he's still going to probably pop up the next week or two in Hall, so he'd be daft to come off him.
Yeah, three blanks in a row. Last three game weeks, he's only scored 2 points. Donny, come to you. What's your thoughts? Getting anxious about Furuhashi?
Not really. Again, they've probably got two attacking teams, Hearts and Hibs, coming up. Probably give them plenty of goal-scoring opportunities. It's similar to Rangers in that respect. So I wouldn't be moving just yet. Hatate, for me, is the standout. He's the one that we championed at the start of the season, and he never really got the game time. But now he's in there. For me, he's almost a lock with O'Reilly. And for that reason, I would probably cash out on Scales. I think if you don't have him, I wouldn't get him in. Because, you know, what was he, 2.6 initially? So we made good value out of him. So I'm quite happy to cash out on that, spend that money elsewhere, and bring in Hatate O'Reilly double in midfield for me. I think that looks appealing. You've got the penalty factors in there as well. Kilmarnock, again, I wouldn't be looking to bring anyone in. Certainly ship out if you're on the defence and you're not that happy with the performances. But Armstrong, you can keep. He's quite low value. We'll get you decent enough returns. So I wouldn't be jumping on that one yet. But a pretty convincing performance. I guess Palma would be, you know, we've been looking for a filler since Jota left. Is Palma the real deal? Or should we just stick Hatate and O'Reilly, who are a bit more solid in the middle of the park? So for me, Hatate on pens is probably a move that I want to get to fairly soon. But yeah, a good win at home against a pretty poor Kilmarnock team.
Yep, we do like our penalty takers on the podcast. up next then, we've got the Edinburgh Derby, Hearts 2, Hibs 2. For Hearts, it was Alan Forrest that scored with an assist from Frankie Kent, and their second goal was actually an own goal by Deutsch. For Hibs, it was Ellie Ewan that got both goals, and obviously Ewan is a standout in this game with his brace. Unfortunately, he is a striker in the game, and he's playing as a midfielder just now. But seven out of Hibs' 16 shots were down to Ewan in this game. Venti could be a decent option. He continues to start up front for Hibs. Seems to be the most stable striker there. Unfortunately for both teams, they're going to face Celtic and Rangers over the next two fixtures. So it gives us some breathing space, a bit of time to decide what we want to do with Hibs and also Hearts players as well. I wouldn't be rushing towards any of them just now. Obviously disappointing for those that have got Clark in goals or any other sort of Hearts defenders, as they have been pretty solid, particularly in defence this season. So something to keep an eye on there. In terms of Hearts, it's 2 goals and 2 for Alan Forrest. He's a player I'll be keeping an eye on. He managed to get 8 points and then 9 points over the last two game weeks. But as previously mentioned, Hearts play Celtic and Rangers as well. So again, no rush to be looking at Alan Forrest just yet, but something to keep an eye on for now. Donny, what's your thoughts on the
good old-fashioned derby end to end? From a fantasy point of view, it was a bit of a bust because for 2-2, you'd be expecting some returns, whether you were still on Shankland or Boyle, and nothing came back. So from that perspective, it was a bit of a killer. There is a question on Boyle, so I will leave that issue to Schnau. And as we've discussed, they both play Rangers and Celtic in the next two games. However, that will mean an extended run at the other end. So keep an eye out on these performers. If they tick over quite nicely, then once these fixtures are out of the way, then you can maybe perhaps jump on them. But a bit disappointing for me on the Boyle front. I thought he would have done more by now. And as a result, there was nothing to be gained from a fantasy perspective.
Peter, anything to add to that?
I think Donny's pretty much covered it. I've not touched them because of fixtures, but I was going to bring up, after these 2 weeks, and again, it's to see where they go because they will avoid Celtic Rangers for the foreseeable. Boyle's disappointing, I've got a question on that later. Shankland's been disappointed as well. They're kind of two mainstays in the last season or two and nothing's really happened. So watch both of them score this weekend against Celtic Rangers. That's written in the stars. But I would be avoiding right now. I'd be watching how they perform and I'd be looking to maybe jump on them when the fixture run changes. Apart from that, as you'll see my wild card, I have a very lack of Hibs and Hearts players when we get to that later on.
Yep. I decided not to mention Boyle this week. Just in case. You know, get done for slander or something like that. We've got a postponed fixture from the previous game week. Obviously, Dundee versus Ross County was called off due to the heavy rain. And both of these teams will now double this upcoming game week. So that leaves some things to discuss later. But for now, the fixtures that did go ahead, our next one is Livingston 2, Motherwell 0. Motherwell obviously getting the red card round about the sort of half-time mark. It was Miller, who's been a sort of cheap option for fantasy managers in recent weeks. For Livingston, obviously the two goals, it was Bruce Anderson with an assist from Mackay, and then Sean Kelly with the penalty, which was won by Penrice, who also managed to go on to get the clean sheet. So a nice big haul for Penrice. In terms of Sean Kelly, I think that was a great shout from Donny. Very cheap enabler. He's now 2.3 million. So I think maybe a few people must have got on him because I think he was 2.2 million the previous
year.
Mm-hmm. Already a double-digit score there, so nicely done. Livingston now will go on to face Dundee in the blank game week 12 as well. I think that's another update from the previous pod. So a decent option to free up funds if we're going to go for these sort of Hitati or whatever is third option for Celtic and to try to get money for Miofsky and players like that. For Motherwell, obviously a quiet game for Motherwell players. They had to play the second half a man down. No returns from Spittle, who seems to be the sort of talisman at the start of the season. I don't think there's really any new names to discuss from this fixture. I'll come to you, Peter. What do you reckon?
Yeah, not much to add. I did think Livingston looked actually half decent, and obviously Donny's shout of Kelly did work, so he's sitting there with a big smug smile on his face. he's a nice sidestep if you have Miller, I mean, on a wild card. I mean, you've had the Miller money. I think he started at 2. Would the Miller start at 2.3 as well? 2.2 maybe?
Yeah, probably 2.2.
So if you get the money for him, you move to the next new young thinking up Kelly, 2.3. He must have jumped on it because he's around 8.9% owned after what pretty much only played two games. So people have jumped on quite quick. So I can only imagine that will rise this week again because of the goal.
So.
And obviously, if we discuss it, people listen and he scored a goal, he's got points. So I think he'll jump to 2.4 this week. So if you're going to make a move, it's probably now or never before he starts rising week to week if he's going to be playing, if he could potentially on pens, like Tony says. Apart from that, Spittle, I mean, Motherwell, we did praise him before. They thought he looked pretty good against Celtic Rangers. They did look good against us, but they're kind of a streaky team. So I don't know if they fall in the same bracket as the rest of them. I think it come out and that. You're going to get maybe a couple of good runs and they might look good. They might get fixtures for you. But then again, they might just go out and get beat off of your Hibs, your Hearts, and your Kilmarnock potentially. I would be rushed to buy them, but again, if you've got cheap players and they're kind of cheap bench trick players, I think it's okay. But nothing infuses me with these teams, to be honest. I think a Livingston defender is probably more up my street than a Motherwell defender right now. They still have the whole Martindale kind of way they can play. They can be defensive, so I think you've more and more to get a tune out there than you would be out of Motherwell. But I could be on next week and see the total opposite when the results flip. But that's just Scottish football for you.
I know. Donny, what's your thoughts?
I want to watch in this game. I was really chuffed. So obviously Kelly paid off. It was a sensible choice. I talked about it in the breakdown. Somebody we looked at in the pre-season, took set pieces and that, and then was injured. So the minute he came back, he'd already scored a pen for me. That was enough. So as you say, he's gone up to 2.3. I highly suspect he'll be 2.4 come the close of this game week. So yeah, definitely get on him. For me, it was a double because I got rid of Miller and he got sent off. So I know a lot of teams, because of the suspended game, had to use their full bench. So he probably came on, gave them minus points, which wouldn't have helped. So for me, that was good. I had Penrice, who won the penalty, got a clean sheet. So again, I had good points there. So I said before, I had a soft spot for Livingston. It's probably games like this that cause it. Certainly blanks out the times where they concede week in, week out. So for me, a Livingston defender will always do you in good stead. And Kelly, until he misses a pen or has a serious dip in form, I think you can put in there. He's just perfect. You know, in terms of, he's almost like a non-playing player at that value. You know, a lot of people pick a defender as a non-playing player because they're like 2.2 million. Well, he was 2.2 million as a midfielder. So that's what I did and took him in. Anderson, I guess, is flying under the radar. But again, there's probably better attackers out there. Motherwell, probably just a bad day at the office. Both teams have got good fixtures. Kilmarnock, Dundee, St Johnstone, Ross County. So, you know, they've got time to bounce back. But good result for Livingston. Won't happen every week. Kelly won't score pens every week. So if he blanks this weekend, don't come blaming me. And Motherwell, as I say, it's just they could blow a team away and ultimately lose 2-0 like they did this weekend. It's a difficult one. But yeah, good one. It doesn't always work out, but it certainly was a good differential. I was really pleased when it came in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next fixture then, we've got St Mirren nil, Rangers 3, Tav penalty, Seema with the second goal with an assist from Raskin, and then Tavernier scored a brace in the closing minutes of the game. Nothing from the usual suspects at St Mirren, Tanzer and the likes. I kind of thought they'd get something against a fragile Rangers team, but they're obviously anticipating a new manager coming in at this point. Those that didn't captain Tav this week were well and truly punished, which I think was all three of us.
Yeah.
Rangers now have a new manager in place, Felipe Clements. Don't really know too much about him. I know he's had some success in Belgium. So I suppose this is the ideal time for Donny to give us the rundown.
Yeah, so what you need to remember, it seems like a long time ago now, but Rangers had two terrible performances ahead of this game. So not captaining Tav did make sense, and most of the community did it. You know, a lot of teams who just let them sit would have made good returns. But there was good theory behind it, so we shouldn't beat ourselves up that we missed it. That'll happen from time to time. Two bad performances, but Ryan Strain certainly helped. By giving Rangers their first penalty of the season, only three behind Celtic now. So again, I saw a lot of teams had Strain and Miller this last game week. So like he got a minus four, which wouldn't have been too pleasing for folk in that boat. But yeah, Captain Tav took the penalty well. I guess if he'd missed that, he would have had his head to play with, but he certainly scored a good one at the end and took all three bonus points. So we all got 21. We could have had an extra 21, but that's just fantasy football. I can imagine we're all going to be banking on them this weekend. Outside of that, I mean, I'll talk more about Rangers later on, but Seema is certainly finding form and could be good value. And as for St Mirren, they've got what Ross County, St Johnstone. So again, easy fixtures to come back off there. Strain will be suspended, so just use him as bench trick
and see what happens, and just keep an eye out for Rangers team news, because there could be a few new names coming back from injury, etc. again, which we'll talk about. But I played them when I was certainly thankful, as I say, coming off the back of those two terrible performances in Europe and against Aberdeen. So the future's bright, he says, for the umpteenth time in umpteenth years. We'll just have to wait and see.
Peter, what's your thoughts?
Not much to add, because obviously a new manager in place. So, and you can see the Rangers this week could be totally changed. I think Dorothy cover that very, very shortly. So, no, I wouldn't worry about it. When you go down to 10 minutes, it's always going to be hard against one of the better teams in the league, no matter what. Strained a bit of brain fart with the penalty getting sent off. He'd probably have been in my wildcard team this week if he hadn't been sent off. So, obviously, that's something they might have to address in later weeks, because I think he's still one of the most better looking attacking fullbacks. O'Hara, again, he's on pens, he's a talisman. You just put this fixture to bed. We say it every week. When the Blues are the Rangers, you don't worry about it. It's what to do about the rest. The fixtures look favourable. They play in the blank. So I think O'Hara's one of the players you kind of want to have in probably going forward. But with the Rangers situation, I'll just do it. What Donny says and how it's going to play over the next few game weeks under a new coaching team. So there's no point in kind of covering all stuff that could all change.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Our final fixture of the game week then. Aberdeen 0, St Johnstone 0. St Johnstone didn't manage a single shot on target in this fixture, but they did manage to clinch their second clean sheet of the season. The other one was against Celtic. I'm probably still not ready to buy any St Johnstone players just yet, but something to monitor for now. In terms of Aberdeen, they've certainly improved since their form at the start of the season. It's a shame they didn't go on to get the win in this game. You'd kind of expect it on paper. Miovski and Jensen both missed big chances in the game. Bit of a shame Miovski blank, considering I took the hit as well, but Kelly managed to make up for it. For Aberdeen, there was obviously the clean sheet. Devlin has significantly dropped in price since the start of the season, and he's now 2.4 million, so bargain basement. They do face Dundee, Kilmarnock and Motherwell in the next three, so I could see there being perhaps a couple of clean sheets there. So certainly a player that I'm considering. What would you reckon, Peter? Are you considering any Aberdeen players in your wild card?
I've got one of the wild card right now, up top. Probably guess who that is. And Devlin is a consideration. The thing is now, I've went for the non-played player at the back. So I've got to weigh up. Obviously, Tavernier takes a spot, which leaves you only three. The double coming up, and they've got a cheap players in there, so I'd like to kind of capitalise on that when you can. Even if it's an extra 2 or 3 points, it doesn't matter, it's 2 or 3 points extra. But Devlin and Alisson defenders in my thoughts, and we'll get back to talk about it. But I think if Aberdeen start keeping the clean sheets and look more solid as they have been, then I think, as you say, Devlin 2.4. The only thing is, he's not as marauding as he was at Livingston, but then he's older, so I don't really expect that. So still quite a cheap entry point in Aberdeen defence if he can continue to keep clean sheets.
Yep. Donny, anything to add to that?
No, not really. Aberdeen unable to match the intensity they showed playing Rangers. Three past them and couldn't score against St Johnstone. That's typical because I took in Miovski. Fingers crossed games against Dundee, Kilmarnock and Motherwell fare better, because I'm hoping for some goal scoring returns there. The game, as I say, offered little unless you had defensive assets, which I don't. St Johnstone are forever in the void. I can't see me changing that. And Aberdeen, Miovski is probably the only standout just now. I do have an Aberdeen defender, but he's injured, so it's something I'll need to look to move on. I don't know if I'd move sideways and stay with Aberdeen. I'd need to see what else is out there at that price. But quite a disappointing result, really. You would have thought from a fantasy point of view, Aberdeen would knock 2 or 3 past St Johnstone, but not to be. Probably tired from beating Rangers.
So we'll conclude then with our top 10. Obviously, Tavernier up top there with 21 points. Eli Yuen came in at second with 16. Hitati third with 15 points. In fourth place was Sean Kelly with 10 points. Dimitar Bitov, the St Johnstone goalkeeper, came in with 9. Alan Forrest, Hearts midfielder, with 9 points. Palmer also scored 9, as did Sima at Rangers. In ninth was Penrice with 8, and teammate Bruce Anderson with 8 points as well, which gives us one goalkeeper, 2 defenders, 4 mids, and 3 forwards. So fairly evenly spread. A few unusual names in there. What's your thoughts, Peter?
I had one player on that list, so that kind of explains my bad week. Penrice, that was it. Everybody else, nowhere near it. So just one of the weeks, I always get kind of, I had a good start. I had 2 bad red arrows, so wild card, refresh the team and hopefully go again.
Johnny?
Yeah, there's, as I say, there's some new names featured in there, so it does show that the game is open and there is plenty to choose from. But again, still some consistent returners. Like I said, I had Tati. It's been O'Reilly for a few weeks. It's now moving on to him. So game's still very much alive. It's just about finding the right formula and making the most of it. But just a bad game week. You know, if you didn't capitalise on Tavernier captain, then it feels like you've missed out. But you know, don't be too put out by it. And most people did lose out. So that's just the way it goes.
Yep. So late game weeks in. We've got another 30 plus to play, or 30 or 28, whatever it was. We've got 30 games a season, 38 games, 36?
38.
Excellent. 30 games left. Right, Donny, over you for a dive, and I'm guessing it's going to be Rangers related.
Yes. So, as I said, when I first started this podcast, I told the guys we needed more Rangers content. This is not what I had in mind, but the dive this week is every Celtics fan's speciality, and that is indeed the Rangers. So, as we've touched on, we're under new management for, what's this, the 3rd time in 3 years? And this time we've gone Belgian with Philippe Clement. So, Tom touched on it. He is highly decorated, which is not something we've been able to say for a while. He has 3 Belgian titles to his name with 2 different teams. So that's quite impressive. To do it once with one team is good, but then to do it again with another team just shows that he's got what it takes to do it in the Belgian league. But, you know, he does take over a Rangers team that are severely low in confidence. However, we are still in all 4 competitions, so it's all to play for, which I'm sure the guys will agree.
Yep.
So what's it mean? I guess the first thing, in terms of fantasy football, is everyone's getting a clean slate. So like Lammers, Dessers, you know, as bad as they've been under Beal, they're going to get a chance. Some might redeem themselves or some might just show that they have been poor selection. So we'll just have to wait and see for that one. We're going to have a new style of play. What that is, I have absolutely no idea. But potentially playing people in the right positions would be a novel idea. You know, maybe 2 up top, Cantwell as a number 10, which Beal did do last season, and then he seemed to change it this season. So I don't know why that was, but it'd be good to see. From an injury point of view, he is coming in at a good time because there's players going to be coming back, the likes of Cantwell, Danilo, who's got a face mask. I saw some pictures of training today, and Matondo. So some guys that have started the season quite well and just got unlucky will be coming back. I guess what you do need to watch out for is we've probably only got 1 Rangers player at the moment. So if you are looking to add in more, you're going to have to watch your budget for that because everyone else in your team is probably going to be less value. So just be careful when planning ahead for that. I wouldn't expect big things straight away. I imagine today was his first chance to see the team in action. And we play Hibs at the weekend. It's probably going to be a very similar team to what you've seen under Beal. I doubt he'll be able to implement much changes in that short time. But we do have Hibs, Hearts, Dundee, a European game in there, and a cup semi-final in there as well. So certainly plenty of opportunity to see the lineups, to see how Rangers play, and potentially kick on from there. I'll keep you updated anytime that I'm on, and we'll see how that goes. So, as I say, plenty there. For me, personally, it's hard to be blown away. You know, there's not a lot of good managers out there that are looking for work in October. And as I said to Peter before we started recording, I get Paul Le Guin vibes off of this appointment. If you're old enough to remember that period, then you'll know exactly what I mean. The alternative was probably going to be Kevin Muscat. And again, he had a lot of pros and cons as well. So, you know, it's a big move by the board. We certainly don't want to be here next October discussing another new manager. You know, it really does have to work out this time. So,
He's got the squad. To me, it's a half-decent squad. It was probably poor leadership with Beal. He's going to have to make them click pretty quickly. If he can get to the cup final, potentially win the League Cup, that's a good start. If he can close the gap on Celtic, that's a good start. But if I was a Celtic fan, and I'll ask you guys in a second, I probably wouldn't be too bothered by this appointment because, you know, we're 8 games in and Rangers have flattered to deceive from where they were last season. So Clement Ball starts this weekend. I will give him my full support, but I gave Beal full support, Gioma full support, and that didn't work out pretty well. So what do you guys think, Peter?
He looks like a decent coach.
Yeah.
But he's not Pep Guardiola when I look at some of the players you've got. So I'm thinking, this is my eyes test. We look to get slowly better and better. He's come into kind of a bit of a shit show, let's be honest, to the squad. I think by the time things might click, it might be probably too late, it's something too far ahead, and you'll be looking forward to next season. And it also depends on what you spend in transfer. Though you've mentioned offline as well, but he's going to have to probably get a tune at most of the squad because he doesn't get to spend a lot of money after they've spent a lot of money in the summer. Yep. So I am not worried. I do expect them to play better under Beal. I just don't think they'll be in it. There's nothing there that's going to say he's going to close a gap anytime soon, so I'm not particularly stressed about it that way.
Yeah, no, it's quite a beige appointment, I think it's probably the best way to put it. It's the right man with the right credentials, but, you know, we're just not there. Tom?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Got any fears about Clement Ball?
No, not particularly.
Says a lot, does it?
It's I don't know. It's just a case of you've kind of got to wait and see, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hearts and Hibs, although they're not the height of form, it gives you a bit more breathing space. You're probably not expecting too many massive hauls. I think obviously we're all bitten by the not captaining Tab this week, so I think we're probably swiftly moving our captaincies back onto him for the upcoming game week. Yeah. In terms of bringing players in and stuff, it's kind of a case of wait and see how he's going to line up. I think we probably need to wait at least a couple of game weeks to get an idea of the style and who his favoured players in each position are going to be. And with the European tie and stuff as well, it gives us an additional look. So we can see how things go from there and then start to load up. But I kind of have it in the back of my mind that maybe in terms of future transfers, maybe try to keep a little bit of budget aside because, as you mentioned, any players that you're going to bring in, you're probably going to need some additional cash to upgrade the players that you've got.
Yeah, I mean, even before Beal got the sack, Seema was definitely coming on to a game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, forward line is a position that we're struggling in. So that is definitely one that you would have sort of been eyeing up had we not changed manager. But fixture-wise, Hibs at home, Hearts at home. I said to Peter that, you know, it's probably two of the best teams that you could have because they will come forward and create opportunities, which will leave space. You know, you wouldn't want a Kilmarnock or a Livingston potentially just defending the whole game and, you know, potentially the fans getting restless. So fixture-wise, two home games in the league is probably the best that you could hope for. he's certainly, as I say, he'll get a good reception, but the performances need to be there. We've not had that for a long, long time. If he can do that, as I say, get to the cup final, potentially win it, then he's certainly be off to a good start, a la Big Ek when he had his time here, but we'll just have to wait and see. So, yeah, that's it.
On that, what formation does he play, Donny? Do you know roughly what he
does? I don't actually know. I'd say 4-4-2, but I'd be guessing. But we don't have width in our team at the moment.
If he's fit,
Scott Wright is a bit of a joke. So he's going to have to, rustle something up that works, given what we've got in the squad. Lowry, arguably one of our best players, is doing it at Hearts. And, whether he takes him back in January and gives him a run. Some of the youngsters got a game against St Mirren, whether you look to that. So I don't know. I certainly wouldn't go in on Rangers this weekend. You're going to have to wait and see how it does shape up, but certainly use the European performances and the Hearts game as your guide to where you want to go to.
Okay. Well, more on that as the weeks progress.
Indeed.
Right. Here's a cold. So I'll do my wildcard, discuss it, right? So obviously there's not much set in stone. I do have certain players like Tavernier and Furuhashi who will not come into the team unless Tavernier stripped his caps or something like that, lost his place, which I don't see. Everything else up for grabs, so I'll go through it position by position. Obviously, in mind of this, I do have double game week and blank game week, so I'm trying to cover as all bases without having to do too much chopping and changing. I thought it was an ideal opportunity to do it. So I'll start with my goalkeeper. First goalkeeper is a non-playing player, Sinclair for St Johnstone, so forget about that. He's not interested, he's not going to have him. Next up is, I've got David Marshall in right now because he's the cheapest playing goalkeeper. Now, I know he's got Rangers and Celtic next, but Tony mentioned he's good fixtures after it. That Marshall could easily be Laidlaw as well because that would cover me for the blank. And Laidlaw, as I mentioned before on this a few times, he goes on the radar every year, and every year he finishes top three, top four goalkeeping points. So that's my other alternative, unless you could talk about it. So what do you think? Thoughts on Marshall, Donny?
Yeah, when you showed me the team, that was probably the first name that jumped out because of the fixtures. But you're going to get the benefit of that at the other end. Obviously, I have wildcarded and I'm on Hemmings. There's not any standout goalkeeper in the Scottish game, so you probably do want to go at the lower end of the budget. And then it's just personal preference after that. And there is a risk taking Ross County just because they don't get the results week in, week out, and you don't really consider save points the same. But it's a solid choice. Certainly, you should be happy with that, as I said, and forget. Well, the thing I would say about Marshall, now that I come to think of it, he's been subbed off quite a few times this season.
Yeah, injured a couple of niggle injuries.
And that would be a killer if they get a clean sheet and he's gone off at half time. But yeah, so sorry, that just came to mind. That would be my only concern.
It is one of my flags. Tom, comments on my goalkeeper?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not one that you need to kind of stress out about too much. I think it's Butland and Xander Clark are sort of in the high 30s just now. And then most of the ones after that are sort of mid to high 20s anyway. So there's not really a lot in it. Laidlaw does tick along quite nicely, and Ross County, you feel like they've been doing well for clean sheets, but I don't know, I think it's kind of six and half a dozen. Hibs have had three clean sheets so far this season, so that's not too bad a rate considering how bad we thought their form was at the start of the season. So
yeah,
I suppose it could be onwards and upwards for Marshall.
So he's definitely a lockdown. You can say I'm not convinced myself, so again, I have to wait and see. Right, so Tavernier's a lock, and I think we all agree. Nobody's getting pitch Tavernier in the team, so he's in there. I've got a non-playing player for Johnson again, two-mind defender, Bright. He's not played any minutes, so he's in there to facilitate the rest. And right now, I've got James Brown from Ross County, who I'd get for the start of the season. Really cheap, playing a double, quite attacking fullback. Pretty much, I just think I didn't need to replace him anytime soon, so keep him in. Next up is Beck, again, because he's a double. He's a really cheap defender. He'll probably be bench fodder most weeks, same with Brown rotating on fixture-wise, unless somebody else appears as it stands. And Scales is one, probably, as we discussed, is probably the position that I'm probably going to go, so I can go to select midfielders. But I haven't looked at the team since last week when I sent you pictures, so that's my defence right now. Tavernier, Bright non-playing, Beck, Scales and Brown. Anything to add this one, Tom?
I think some people have been getting rid of Tavernier because he's went from 7 million to 6.9. So
yeah.
Some people obviously got bitten worse than us, and if they didn't have Tav at all. It's probably. I do like having the non-playing player in defence just because there seems to be such a wealth of midfielder options this season.
Yeah.
In terms of defence, there's not that many attacking fullbacks, really. I can see, obviously, the draft that you put in the WhatsApp group, you're needing budget, so you are having to shop down that sort of lower end. I probably would consider Devlin as one of your options. I think Beck is all right, but he's probably going to... Because you've got a non-playing player as a defender, you're going to have to play a back four. And it's just probably going to be him being rotated with Brown. So
that's the idea, right? Probably to be the bench most times.
But I mean, with Tavernier and Scales, you'd imagine that's going to be all right for your clean sheets anyway, and just kind of rotate those two. But yeah, looks fairly decent, and it allows you to invest your budget more of where we're getting seem to be getting the points from.
Mate, Donny, thoughts on the defence?
It's the right names in terms of the fixtures that are coming up. Scales would be my only point of concern, and you guys will know better than me because we talked about him, you know, potentially getting moved out once the centre halves are fully fit and come back. So I don't know if there is a time limit on his position. I know he has been playing well, and you know, his returns are good, but had you had him at 2.6 million and he's now 3 million, I would have kept him. But the fact that you're jumping on him at 3, I had him at
2.8 if a 2 rises out.
Okay, right. Oh, well, that's not so bad. I wouldn't be too worried about having a Celtic defender. I think last season they were 50% clean sheets. So every other game... other teams is not going to be too far away. As I say, I'd maybe just have a Livingston or a Kelly defender in there and get the best 2 out of 3 week in, week out. So it's a solid defence. You'll rotate Ross County and Dundee, but whether you want to hold on Scales would be my only question mark. But even if he is there, it's a solid enough team.
Yeah, well, I could downgrade Scales to any one of the defenders you both mentioned.
Exactly.
Give
exactly.
Enough money to basically take Spittle, Armstrong or O'Hara up to... Riley.
Yeah.
So it is something I'll think about over the space of the weekend. Right, midfield then. So I've got 5. So first up, the easy one would be I took Miller out and brought Kelly in. That's just a facilitate one for the other. Other one's now nailed. Kelly's got more chance of attacking return. He's cheaper. So I think that's probably a nailed transfer actually. I'll probably leave him in there unless he lost his place. Yeah. The other 4 are Hatate, O'Hara, Armstrong, and Spittle. That's midfielders. So thoughts on midfield, Donny?
Yeah, that's pretty solid. You've got all the right names, got penalties in there. Spittle, I suppose, is the only question mark. He's a hit or a miss. You say you've got Armstrong and O'Hara.
Armstrong and O'Hara. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, you're fine there. Yeah. Boyle, you could have a question mark to say whether Boyle could be in there. I could probably see a Rangers player getting in there, but you've got a couple of weeks before that. Probably needs to be made, but it's probably the same midfield as I've got. Apart from Boyle, you've got Hatate, and to be honest, that's the move that I would potentially be making this week anyway. So it's a solid midfield. I like that one.
Thoughts, Tom?
The lack of O'Riley concerns me.
So I'll get to that in a minute, but go on, you go.
in terms of O'Riley's, I think he's got 71 points and then second highest scoring midfielder's a big drop at 46. So the only way I could see you getting to that, though, because obviously budget is quite tight, is if you drop Scales to a 2.5 or less, possibly Devlin, you've already got 0.5 in the bank. That could get you Hatate up to O'Riley. Yeah,
I'd have them both.
That's
I'd
probably my only concern.
Wild card.
It'd be getting the funds alone. I think you'd have to get up to both. You'd have to find, say, if you upgraded O'Hara, you'd have to find 2 million. You're probably then going to downgrade Miovski.
You could do that, though. You could get CMAS. You know, it's only 5.4, I think.
This is the thinking behind it, right? If I get Devlin for scales, right? Devlin goes, there's a 2.5 starting fullback. Spittle could become, I like O'Hara because O'Hara's fixtures are good. Spittle could become O'Reilly. Let me see. Sell. This is live. 6.3, and I need to pay 0.7, and then Mayossi could become Seema, and then that's fine. 5.8. And that gives me 0.4 in the bank still to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I could change that. Devlin in, O'Reilly, Hatate, Armstrong, O'Hara in midfield. Seema up front. It means a loss out Mayossi, so I'd be kind of having kittens over that one every week, especially when they're at home against kind of
yeah.
But that's depending if Seema's going to play under this new manager and he's going to play up front. So it's all.
It's I'm not
really but I could go that way once I see team news and stuff like that. But right, you're right. O'Reilly and Atati is what I'd like to have in midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. And up front, Mayossi, Furuhashi, and Baki Yoko. Tom.
Yeah, you're probably going to have Furuhashi. You need a sort of cheap person in there as your third striker, so Bakayoko is probably the cheapest. He's 0.2 less than Murray. I know Murray's not quite been getting all the full 90 minutes. He's been subbed off early, and one game he was also benched as well. So Bakayoko is probably a bit more secured, and he's decent form as well, chipping in with assists, so decent enough to have on your bench trick as well. So, Mayossi is a bit of a budget sponge, that's the only thing. And I think it's probably going to take a few more game weeks to work out whether Mayossi is going to be getting the hauls or whether you're better off downgrading and spreading that money around to kind of get a sort of collectively get a higher score by perhaps upgrading some midfielders or even some defenders if some start to come into form as well. But we don't really know that until a bit later down the line. So, yep, happy with that.
Thoughts, Donny?
That's the same front three as I've got, so well done for a copy of my team. You obviously see a good thing. They're all solid picks. Bakayoko, what I've had from the start of the season, he's got the game time. He's had some returns for that price. You're never going to get huge ones. He's going to have the double game week, the blank game week, so you leave him in there. It then gives you the budget to spend elsewhere. Mayovsky's got the fixtures. Okay, the form's not there, but if he doesn't return, there is, you know, Seema, I think, is a good alternative if you can see that one catching fire. The only risk would be, I guess, if Danilo takes off, he's considerably higher. But at that price point, he should get the returns. He's a form striker. He does take penalties, and, you know, they have got the fixtures. So I can't complain. As I say, it's exactly the same three as I've got. So that's a sound choice.
Okay, so it's food for thought. There's some of things that I could think about when see. I have to wait and see how the team news goes, but Aberdeen's fixtures do look good. I know Mayossi keeps on missing all these big. It's like similar type of Boyle, obviously. You watch the highlights, he seems to miss all these chances. You think he's going to click one of these games and I'm going to be off him. I'll have to wait and see. Right, okay, that's that covered. I will obviously update that when we post our team news at the weekend and you'll see what I end up landing with. Right, we'll be okay. On to the questions and if my Twitter loads up. Here we go. First up is from Mel Stars. Time to wildcard. So obviously I went, yes, I wildcarded, I've done it. Dory, you used your wildcard already, first wildcard?
Yeah, I wildcarded about week three, did I? It seems such a long time ago. It depends. You know, the guys that are in the cup semi-final, they've probably got really good teams, don't need to change. But if you've got a few holes and you've been getting red arrows, then I think you just have to do it. We've talked through your team there, and you know what you've got now versus what you had is considerably better. I guess hearing Tom's opinion, because he's not, so he's obviously waiting for something better to come. For the reason he's not wildcarded, Tom.
Yeah, go for
it. What's that?
Go for it, Tom. What is it?
You're waiting for something better. Your team's struggling, well, I guess, like everyone else. But
I think, obviously, I do like a winter call off, so I like the the fixtures to kind of mount up and get a few doubles into the new year. Obviously, Rangers now have a new manager, so we need to see what players are going to perform under him. So it could be a good way of, if Rangers start to hit form, to kind of get some of those guys. As I said, Miovski is a bit of a sponge just now, so I want to see if it's worthwhile having him up front, or if the money would be better spent elsewhere. If I do want to spread it about, then obviously that's multiple transfers, so a wild card can be held on to do that. And so that's really the reason. Potential doubles. Wait and see what happens with Rangers, and see where I want to put the funds.
Yep.
Okay. Next up is James McLeod. Any idea yet what game week the League Cup postponements are likely to be made up of? Do you have any idea, Tom, any linklings when these games are going in?
No. Sorry, his ticket. Has he put anything on the ticket?
Yeah, I've had a look. There's no free midweek slots between now and December because of European games and actual league matches. There's a couple of midweek fixtures. And the first free slot is game week 18, which is the 16th of December. I think we already played too many games in December, so it would surprise me if they jammed one in there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're looking at January, February before you see these games being played. You'll then also have the two teams that are in the cup final. That's going to be another postponement further down the line. So it's not going to be immediate. Be lucky if it's this side of Christmas.
I think they've done it 2 years ago, and the club did kind of crack up. I remember using a wild card and Tom Rodgick scoring in Angie's first season. And mm-hmm. the fans, people were moaning about the games getting fixed then, especially as you said, play that many games. Yeah. They haven't mentioned it yet, and it's like getting to mid-October, so you might be right, maybe next year. Because you remember this, I think every year of December they seem to fly in the game weeks, but it's just constant.
There's too many games in December, and then you'll get weather like there was last year. I think there was double game weeks, and then there was postponements within that week, and it failed to hit, so...
We'll keep an eye on it. Slutty Stickers I want to follow. He updates it straight away, but I think Donnie's probably right. It will be into next year before we start getting these games in.
Yeah.
Next up is from Benji FPL. Another two here. Another couple. Aye, so I'll do the same thing. That one's SPL showroom as well. They cover the same kind of question here. So Benji first. Do you think Ross County assets like Danda, Murray, Beck are worth targeting on double game week, given the fixtures afterwards? So he's just kind of on the more of the... Oh, yes, both Ross County and Dundee. And FPL showroom says, which county and Dundee asset should be targeted for a double, or do we need to target any at all? So you know my opinion on it. I've got a few in my wildcard team. I'm just going to try to play upside, more a fixture head in my form. So on the odd chance, they keep a clean sheet, and odd chance one of the fullbacks has an assist. I think you've got to take a punt on it when there's two games there. What's your thoughts, Donny? Ross County and Dundee assets?
You've got to watch. This is teams 10-11 in the Premiership, so bear that in mind. You know, you're looking at backing them defensively, so does that make it any better than backing any other team that's playing one in 1 week? I'm not really sure. Both teams play in the blank game week 12, so you're probably going to hold on to these guys. And I know, Ross County play Celtic game week 12 and Dundee play Rangers before game week 12, so... Again, having defensive assets that play Celtic and Rangers, you know, you might get returns now, but probably not 3 weeks down the line. I don't think there's any options in midfield. Danda's going to haul 1 week and, you know, have egg on my face, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Up front, I mean, Bakayoko we've talked about, I think he's the only sensible choice there. Tom's backed Simon Murray this season. It has worked out, but it's gone quiet. I think defensively probably is the only place you can look at. But, as I say, they're 10th and 11th, so clean sheets might not be guaranteed. It's going to be a punt. You're going to then have to keep them on your bench unless you're going to wildcard or do something silly further down the line. But it's not a double game week I'd be too excited about. Like, if I'd just played the match, I wouldn't have been looking to bring any of them in. So playing that extra game, and one of them's against Aberdeen, I think the other one's St Mirren, it doesn't really catch fire with me. But on a wild card, I probably would bring one in. I don't have any defensive assets from Dundee or Ross County, but I would probably have one. I wouldn't load up. I don't think you're going to make too many games, and then you're going to be stuck with them for the next 3 or 4 weeks till the blank game week's through.
Yeah, I've got him, as I said before, to play the game, play the blank. There is players of similar price range you could probably maybe sidestep to.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. Tom, your thoughts on the assets from both clubs?
Yeah, I think we kind of wrote off Danda as a bit of a myth because he's not really done a lot this season.
Yeah.
He's only really got a couple of assists so far, so wouldn't be worth really bringing him in for the long term, especially not for a hit. I think probably the two players you would consider would be Beck at Dundee or James Brown at Ross County. Ross County, I think there's a decent chance of possibly getting a couple of assists. A couple of clean sheets there. James Brown can chip in with assists too. It's a similar sort of situation with Beck. I'm more inclined to James Brown than Beck. And again, for neither of them, I probably wouldn't be taking hits. Because you probably need to get a second clean sheet just for it to kind of work out, really. You can keep a hold of them, but as Donnie mentioned, Ross County does play Celtic in the blank, so yeah, you're really expecting many points there.
He scored and, last time.
Yeah.
Brown, didn't he? He scored the first game.
Dundee, you're probably maybe just going to keep them as a bench trick, but then if you've got both of them, then one of them's going to have to start. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't be rushing towards them. If you don't really have anything else to do in your team, then one of those two are probably the ones to go for.
Well, I've got something to add to it, right? People that are casual probably might buy one or two of these players this week because they're playing double game week, right? So I'm maybe expecting a price rise. And then when they realise that they're playing the double, they're trying the blank, you make another price rise out of them. So if things fall favourable for me, I can end up with two price rises out of them after the blank game week, and then you can say step out away from somewhere else and you're building value. Maybe that's me just wishful thinking, but I'm trying to justify me keeping them in the team, but that's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, next up is from Barracuda. Donnie's pretty much covered this already, but I'll let him do it again. Which Rangers mid or forward would you recommend?
So I think Cantwell at 5 million, Matondo 4.6 million if they, you know, get straight back into the team. Raskin's 4.6 million. I talked about him as my first differential before he got injured. Sima, Danilo, it's names I've mentioned already, but you're not going to see it immediately. So I would just ignore the Hibs game and then see where you're at after that. Just the usual names. I don't think we're going to see anything revolutionary from Clermont in this first game out.
Tom, any add to there, midfielder forward-wise?
Yeah, I don't think we can recommend a specific player just yet. I feel like Rangers are a bit of a blank canvas just now, and we need to sort of be patient and see how they perform over the next two or three fixtures, and then proceed. Or else you're just going to blow a transfer if you pick the wrong one, and then you're then scrambling around to transfer them back out again. So, for me, I would be patient with that one.
Yep, I agree with you both. I think you just got to wait and look to see how Rangers play. If Cantwell comes back at team and plays in the forward position, like number 10, I think he's first on the agenda to get back in, as he played well with the last season. But again, that's waiting to see how where Clement puts him, if he puts him in the wing, puts him number 10, plays him more midfield. It's this case that we always like to say, we'll wait and see how they line up. And you'll get quite a lot of game data, because obviously our times game, there's Europe. Is that right? There's Europe next week, isn't there? So there is European games. So there's two games of trot you can kind of see a style of play and where players will fit in, and then you can kind of make a guess from then. And the last question is from Melvino, 1968. Is Boyle worth holding on to until the blank? He has an Old Firm back-to-back, but a nice fixture against Ross County after that. So, Boyle, you're always championing Boyle here. Tom, so I'll let you go first.
Absolutely not. You need to get rid of this guy.
He's a fraud.
He's dining out on previous season success, and it needs to come to an end, so I would be looking to get rid.
Okay, I need to clip that. Donny, your thoughts on Boyle?
No, it's a good question, and one I've asked myself. I think it's a bit like AA. You have to admit you've got a problem before you can move on. So I think he's 4.8 million. He's 41.2% owned. There is an argument to hold, but the numbers are not there. If you look at Sean Kelly, 2.3 million. You could get equal, if not better, returns out of him and then spend money elsewhere. So I think I just need to get off the bus and look elsewhere. He could catch fire and again, we'd all be left. But Rangers and Celtic,
just to hold out for a game against Ross County, I think you're going to miss out on maybe potentially a couple of good weeks from other midfielders of that like. So no, I think it's time up for me.
I 100% agree. He's not my wildcard team, but would it surprise you in the slightest for him to score a goal against both Rangers and Celtic next two game weeks?
Yeah, not at all.
Nah, that's the kind of guy he plays. But I think he's not done it yet. The players in front of him aren't clicking with him. They're not going to save wavelengths. So I think there's elsewhere to go. And so my time and place are boiling this season, and no doubt we'll probably miss out, but that's just what happens in this game.
Yep.
Right, that is finished. So the fixtures for next week, I haven't got in front of me. Is any of the fixtures there off the top of my head?
I've got them.
Right, so we do have that's a 6 o'clock kickoff, you can clock that. 4 3 o'clock kickoffs. So you're going to have team news for 8 teams, which are as follows: Johnson vs Motherwell, Ross County St Mirren, Rangers vs Hibs, and Kilmarnock Livingston. So that's good to know for the Rangers team. Line up with the manager. And with Saturday late kickoff, Aberdeen Dundee, Sunday 2 p.m. Hearts Celtic, and then the midweek fixture, double game week, is Dundee and Ross County. So upon hearing those fixtures, Donny, transfers, captains, vice captain plans.
So captain and vice captain will revert to Tavernier and Kyogo. I think that offers the best value that you're probably going to get. I always find that double game weeks are good to take a -4 because you should make those points back. So although I didn't sing their praises too much, I probably will bring in a Ross County or a Dundee defender, and then I will probably move Boyle out to bring in Hatate. So that allows me to freshen up there. So taking in a defender that plays double game week and strengthening midfield, taking out Boyle and putting in Hatate would be my thoughts for this game week.
Okay, well, my thoughts on a wild card. So basically, everyone is a transfer. My captain is Tavernier, vice captain Kyogo. I'm looking for a new manager bounce, and hopefully, Kyogo will find his feet again. Using the same reason as you, Donny, they're playing against teams that are actually quite attacking and make him out. So yeah, it's really getting behind them. Tom, your thoughts this week? Transfers, captains, vice captains?
Captain Tav, vice captain. It's on Kyogo, but I could be tempted to switch over to Mayovsky. Transfer will probably be, need to get rid of Stevenson at Hibs because he's not guaranteed minutes, and I can switch over to Devlin at 2.4, very, very cheap, and at least I'll be guaranteed a bit more in terms of minutes. That's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Okay. Right, that concludes the podcast then. We will wrap it up. Donnie, you'll be here next week. You're on holiday. So it'll just be
me. I am indeed.
Hopefully discussing that Martin Boyle Hall, but we'll wait and see. So let's get plugs in. Tom, where can we find you?
I'm at FFS _ Scout.
Donny.
I am at FFS _ Donny.
I'm the Fantasy Half. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.